We're so glad you've joined us today. God wants to do so much for you and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at pastor@relevant316.com. If you would also like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at relevant316.com. There you can select a giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to preach and teach your word. God, I ask that you will open up the hearts of your people, that they will be receptive to what I have to say today. God, I yield myself to you. I'm nothing but a vessel. Use me, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Give me a fresh anointing. I want to preach and teach with a boldness and with a clarity. And I thank you, Lord, because I'm not alone, but there's so many people across our country and across the globe that are preaching and teaching your gospel today. And I ask that you would empower them, God, that your kingdom be glorified, that your kingdom be built, that souls be saved, that the gospel be preached. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I almost didn't make it here today. I came down Thursday, and the plan was to go and to hang out in San Diego for a couple days. I've never been to San Diego. I love it. I finally found a place that I want to live. It was amazing. First, wait, thank you for all of my relevant Grand Rapids family. They're watching live online. My wife texts me. So what's up? They see, that's amazing. When they go have church. We set up, we tear down, we have church in the movie theater. And then they go home, they're all tired, and they're still tuning in to Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. I love you. But I almost didn't make it here today. And we had such a good time the last couple of days hanging out in San Diego, going to the beach. We went to a comedy club and just eating all the great food. If you follow me on social media, I'm taking pictures of plates. I'm going live. I taught Matt Perry how to fish, although he didn't catch a fish. I caught like seven. I was nailing them. He was just sitting there taking pictures for Instagram. But yesterday, he came to San Diego to pick me up, and I had a rental car, and he's going to follow us to go drop it off. And we stopped at the gas station, and I pumped gas. And when I got back in, my wife was on the phone, and we got a very serious phone call, a call for distress. And that's all I could hear on the phone was my son. He was crying, and he says, "Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I need you. I want you. Come home." And I almost went home. I'm a father. I love being a father. When I had a child, I realized my purpose was to be his father. And just to hear him crying and saying, "Daddy, I need you, come home." Now, mind you, he's at grandma's house being spoiled and living it up. But none of that matters. That's all I heard was, "Daddy, I need you." And I learned when my son was born, how God feels about us. I learned very quickly that his love for us is greater than I ever understood. When you have a child, you look at your parents differently. Normally, that relationship gets a little bit better. I remember when I had my son, I looked at my parents and said, "You love me this much? Wow." And then I look at my son and I say, well, I didn't create him technically. I didn't have a purpose for him. It was just kind of a, hey, let's take a test and see. And he was there. But then when I look at my son, I say, you know, God, you have a purpose and a plan, and you shape us and mold us and give us life. You love us this much? It was one of those things that just was like, It's just a moment in life where you have clarity all of a sudden the way God feels about you. Amen? And I want to share with you just a couple of points. We're going to come out of the book of Genesis today. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start reading at verse 8. I won't be before you long. I like ice cream too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for they brought me out here on the right Sunday. In the bulletin, there is a barbecue Sunday on October 13th. Jot me down for the 13th. My two addictions is barbecue and ice cream. But in Genesis chapter 3, before we get to chapter 3, Genesis is the beginning of the Bible. It's the beginning of the story of everything. In the beginning, there was God, and God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And it tells a story of how God created everything. And I love preaching this text because a lot of times to find out how we got where we are and who we are, you have to figure out where you come from. And in the book of Genesis, what happened was, after God had created everything, the earth, the all of the animals, all of the vegetation and everything, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And he made man from the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Adam walked the face of the earth, and he brought all of the living things to Adam for him to name it. He gave him dominion. And Adam looked around and he said, well, the lion has a mate, and the tiger has a mate, and the zebra has a mate, and the giraffe has a mate. Even the fish and the birds all have a mate. And he found himself, although he was surrounded, he was lonely. And God says, it is not good that man should be alone. I am going to make him a helpmeet. Some of y'all married brothers ought to say amen. Happy that God made you a helpmeet. And he put Adam to sleep, and he pulled from his rib, and he made woman, which is man with a womb. That's where woman comes from. So woman was literally created to be a wife. Argue with God. I'm just telling you the Bible. Was literally created to be the helpmeet of a man. Talking about purpose. Amen. Got somebody. And what happened was that God, on this beautiful earth, he created the entire earth at that time. And on it, he created a garden that was known as the Garden of Eden. And in it, there was all of this beautiful vegetation and all of these beautiful things. And he put Adam in this garden, and he says, I'm giving you the responsibility to take care of this garden. You can eat from whatever you want to eat. You take care of it and do whatever you want. It was one rule. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, I just got one rule, right? So he put him in the garden, and this was all actually before he made Eve. He gave him Eve, and Eve came along, and I'm gonna squash some of the stuff that we have said kind of over the years about Adam and Eve in church and things like that. Oftentimes we blame Eve because she was the one that ate from the fruit of the knowledge, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we say, see, the woman sold us out. But when you look at the text, when she ate it, it says she turned and she gave it to him, which meant he was present. See, men been coming up short for a long time. That's why we needed to help me. And so we pick up now where they are after they disobeyed God and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, okay? Chapter 3, we're going to read verse 8. And it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? This should grab the attention of every believer. When you know who God is, when you understand his attributes, and he's all powerful, he's sovereign, he can do what he want, when he want, how he want, don't have to answer to none of us, he doesn't fit in your little box or who you think he should be, and he's all knowing. So when an all knowing God asks a question, it ought to get your attention. This was not a rhetorical question. This was not the question that you asked your teenager after they came home. Where you been? When you already know where they've been, you're just trying to see if they're going to lie. This wasn't one of those questions. You don't walk in and you caught the five-year-old with his cookies in the cookie jar, and he jumps and he hides. He said, what was you doing? Just to see if he's going to lie. This is not one of those questions. This is a question that God asked for real, for real. He didn't mean, where are you physically located? Because to hide from God, which is what they were trying to do, would literally be like hiding from oxygen. It's touching you. You can't hide. He's everywhere. But if you look at it, it says, and they heard, thank you, Jesus, the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This was the norm for them. They normally had relationships and conversations and spent time with God on a regular basis. So when God showed up like he normally did to spend time with them, he recognized that they were somewhere else. You're right there, but you're somewhere else. It's something there that I'm not familiar with. I'm such a holy and righteous and perfect God. If I get too close, I'll kill you. My presence would judge your sin and you would disintegrate in my sight. Where were they? Come here, Matt. You come help me out. Sit right here. Sit right there. I remember when I was about, I had to be about 20 years old, 19, 20 or so. I was a bad kid. I'm the prodigal son. Hallelujah. Thank you. And I remember it had to be about 2 or 3 in the morning. I was at my parents' house, and I'm sure I was high and drunk and stuff. I did that a lot. And I used to smoke Newports along with a lot of other stuff. And I remember sitting on the steps of my parents' house outside smoking a cigarette. And I remember looking at the cigarette saying, I don't want to smoke this. I hate these, but I can't. And I realized that sin had me just like this. And it had me bound. And I had no control. And I couldn't shake free if I wanted to. And that was the answer to the question of where are you? God doesn't know what it's like to be bound. He doesn't know what it's like to have restrictions. He doesn't know what it's like to be controlled. Thank you. And that's where Adam and Eve were. They were now under the bondage of sin, the captivity, the control of sin. And God is saying, where are you? You, what have you done? What have you done? The thing that I love about God is that he had a purpose from the very beginning. Amen? God's plan from the beginning was always to have a family. He's a family man. His plan from the very beginning was to have a family. A powerful and amazing God. If Earth was some play toy project that he just sat back and looked at like a fish tank, that I just buy piranhas and then I throw the guppies and goldfish in and laugh. A lot of people, that's how they think that God views Earth, like he's some sick puppet master. Because we have struggles and we have issues. But no, his purpose and plan was to have a family. And the beautiful part was, before he brought his family on, he created a wonderful world and gave it to him. He's just like me. I want to give my son the world. You're a parent, you want to give him everything. Not only do you want to give them everything, if we follow the parenting advice of God, you want to give them some responsibilities as well. Responsibilities bring expectations. So I give you responsibility, and then I bring you the expectations of what I want you to do with what I gave you responsibility over, and then there's going to be consequences and repercussions when things don't go right. That's how you run your house, isn't it? Where do you think you got it from? Amen? Daddy, I need you. Won't always work. My son's 5. It works like a charm. Daddy, I need you. I'm on my way. What do you need, son? I'm under his spell, and I need prayer. I'm worse than bulimia. Worse. My son, everybody knows this dude. My brothers dog me out. My dad, they're like, we thought you would be the strict one. That boy got, shut up talking about my son. You want Wendy's? You want me to, I'll take the onions off for that. Yes, sir. Yes, I want, it's a little bit too hot. Yes, son, yes. Messiah Caleb, yes. But daddy, I need you won't always work, because there comes a point where I've trained you and I've taught you and I've spent enough time with you, and all of a sudden I expect you to be able to handle what I taught you to do, and daddy, I need you turn into figure it out. Because if I keep showing up, bailing you out of these situations, you'll never learn. And I will handicap you. Y'all know some handicapped adults. I know some handicapped adults when their mama and daddy was washing their clothes all through their 18, 19 years old, cleaning their room and all of this foolishness, never gave them a job, just give them money. What kind of, are we raising adults? He's only 5, but kindergarten is around the corner and things about to shift. I've said way before I was born, mine is getting luggage on their 18th birthday. The only way you stand here is if you're going to college locally. If you choose a job, choose rent somewhere else. We're shooting for the stars. Amen. God's desire was always to have a family. And when he showed up and he saw that his family had messed up, he showed up and he began to clean up their mess. God's been cleaning up our mess for so long. God has been cleaning up our mess. When your child is in trouble and you get that call, I remember as a child, my grandfather, rest in peace, he passed away last September. I heard from the age of 3, if you go to jail, I'm never coming to see you. Okay. Can I get some cornflakes? If you go to jail, I'm never coming to visit you, because if you just do what I say, you won't be in jail. When your father went to jail, I never went to see him. Your mom or your grandma will come see him, but I didn't go see him. And I remember I went to jail, and he came to see me because he knew I needed help. And sometimes we want to be hard, but sometimes we need to be compassionate. And we have a compassionate father who came to see about us. Listen, he says, "Where are you?" The all-knowing, all-present, can do what he want, when he want, how he want, God says, "Where are you?" And not only did he say where you are, but when he showed up, they gave a whole bunch of lame brain excuses. It was the woman fault. She gave me. No, it was the serpent fault. Nobody wanted to man up and take responsibility and say, "I disobeyed you. I disobeyed you, Father. That didn't happen." So nobody wanted to man up. Nobody wanted to take the responsibility. So God, he judged them accordingly. And at the end of it, at the end of a little bit of spanking, a little bit of this is your punishment, he went out and killed his beloved creation and created clothing. You never knew, but your Nike shirt, your Sean John, your Relevant Church t-shirts, this is all a reminder of a separation between man and God. Every time you get dressed, this is a reminder of your sin. This is a reminder that there was a separation between me and God. That the answer to the question where you are had not yet been answered. God has been cleaning up our messes all along. There's a scripture, and I don't have much time, so I'm going to paraphrase it. You can go read it when you want to. It's Genesis chapter 15, and it's verses, you can read verse 7 through 21. Jot that down. Go read it later. We had a song fest today, so I'm giving it to you. In this text, God decides to take Abraham and make him his chosen people. And he starts to make promises to Abraham and the things that he is going to do. And Abraham turned around and said, "Well, how I know you're going to do it?" And God told him, he says, "Go get a lamb. Go get a goat. Go get some doves and bring them all here." And God brought them, and he took them, and he took the lamb, and he cut it in half, and he took the goat and the bullock, and he cut them in half, and he took the bird, and he set them all in place, one on one side and one on the other, and he put them out perfectly. And to us, that sounds weird. That sounds very weird. But in that day, this was the custom of how you came into a covenant agreement with someone else. If I have my brother, Pastor Scott, he is the tribe, he's the tribe leader of the Scots. Stand up, Scott. Wave to the people. Scott is a brute warrior and a hunter. He is the leader of the warriors and the hunters, and they go out and they kill animals. And everybody know you don't mess with the Scots because they got weapons, they got muscles, they're brutal, and they will kill you. And then we have Matt Perry. he's the tribe leader of the Perryites. And the Perryites are the gardeners. And they're the knitters. They make awesome skinny jeans. And a really cool kale smoothie. But everybody keeps showing up punking them. Because it's like, we just want to make skinny jeans and drink smoothies. Stop messing with us. So he says, hey, Scott, I need what you have. So let's come into a covenant agreement that our tribes will become one. And in our tribes becoming one, you would be the muscle. You will make sure nobody picks on us. You will gather food. You will be the muscle. And we will make sure that y'all is G'd up in skinny jeans and full of kale smoothies and gardens and all that stuff. So there was a mutual benefiting of this agreement. So they would come together and they would say, okay, let's do this. And as the tribal leaders, they would come together in that day and they would have the ripped in half sheep and the bullock and the goats. And they would come together and walk down the middle of these sacrifices. Symbolizing a blood covenant agreement that whoever broke this covenant, the same thing would happen to them that happened to the animals. This was symbolic. Okay, we're going to take it serious. This is not going to be one of those handshakes. This is not going to be a pinky swear. We're going to do this in the sight of everybody. We're going to come into a blood covenant and pass between these sacrifices together. And if you break it, we cut you in half. If I break it, you cut me in half. That's serious. We don't do those things anymore. And that's where we get pinky swears nowadays. So in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, when God told Abraham to go and get these things and bring them and cut them in half and to spread them apart and to lay them out, it says, you look at it, it starts about the 17th verse, and he says, and a deep sleep came over Abraham. God realized that I need a covenant with man, my son. Because right now you're going down a bad path. I need to take care of you. But I cannot come into a joint covenant agreement with you because you don't have the ability to uphold your end of the bargain. If Abraham would have came into a covenant agreement with God, he would have dropped dead as soon as he walked through. I remember I used to be pissed off at Adam. Man, if I ever get to heaven, if Adam in there, man, I'm going to punch this dude in the throat. I'm violent. I got problems. I used to be like, man, I'm going to just, ooh, if you go in the bathroom, you better hope in him. I'm going to, ooh. He just sold us out. Adam sold us out. That's when I was a young Christian. The older I got, I realized I would have did the same thing. So would you. We would all screwed up like we done all screwed up. What God did, he put Adam to sleep, and he passed between the sacrifices, coming into a blood covenant with Adam that Adam could never uphold his end of the deal, so he did it all by himself. That sounds like a father to me. I was coming into an agreement with my son that I would take care of you no matter what, and if I don't, what has happened to these sacrifices will happen to me. Wow. Our Father has been covering up our messes from the beginning. And even after all of that, if you look at the Old Testament, you ever hear somebody say the Bible contradicts itself? I've heard it. Eye for an eye. Well, you know, we can, you know. Back in the day, if you badmouthed your parents, they'd take you out in front of the wall and stone you to death. There'd be no kids in 2017. There would be none. Like, please cut his tongue out. I don't want you to kill my kid. And throughout, you got it. And what happened throughout the Old Testament is God, he came in this covenant agreement, and he over and over again, he saved the children of Israel. Over and over again, he showed up and he rescued them. And over again, they turned their back on him and they walked away from him. Over and over again, they said, God, I love you because I need you. And as soon as everything was looking good, they walked away. And over again, the daddy showed up to save them. And it was this up and down war, and God's law was pretty tough. God's law was pretty harsh because there was a question that had not yet been answered. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? I don't know where you are, but I'm so glad that he answered his own question. He sent his son to put on sinful flesh to come see about you. He sent Jesus into the world to find out where you are. It is so easy to serve a God that just didn't sit on a podium and point his finger, but he came down from his high horse and he says, we all in this together. And the thing I love about God when you see him in the Bible is that he didn't come to church to love on church people. He went to church and flipped over tables. But he sat with the sinners. He went to the lost. It's easy to follow a God who has compassion like that. He came to see about you. He came to see what the struggle was. And check it out. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all manners, but he sinned not. That meant he had desire. That meant he saw, ooh, Lord. He saw it. He had urges that were not right. But because he was God, he had the power. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And all of a sudden, the tenor of this thing just kind of switched. It turned into a just man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. It turned, all of a sudden, grace was introduced. Grace was really introduced in chapter 15 in the book of Genesis. We're not going to go into a Bible study, but the law came because the children of Israel asked them for it. But that's too much. We're out of time. He came, and all of a sudden, everything changed. It turned into grace and mercy and favor and having compassion and patience. Because he found out that this flesh ain't no joke. Dad, I know why they don't listen now. He was able to give a report. He's up with the judgment, Dad. That sin is a stronghold. That sin is amazingly tough to deal with. So he came to find out where we are, and not just to find out. It'd be cruel just to show up and say, yeah, you got it rough, see you later. But he says, I'll be the ultimate sacrifice, because I realize that you're going to struggle until the day you die. Let me go ahead and wipe out all your wrongs. He came and he died on the cross, and he literally washed out all of your sins, the sins of all of mankind. Those who have not yet come to know Christ, their sins have been washed. They may not yet have accepted it, but their sins have been washed. He died for the sins of the world, amen? Past, present, and future. And not only that, that would be great. Okay, cool, you died for the sins. You know, and everybody, I've never met anybody who doesn't want to be saved. Everybody wants to be saved. But most people want to be saved from the consequences of sin, not from sin itself. Nobody wants hell, but we all want the sin. Because it's fun and it feels good. It's gratifying to the flesh. But when you come into a relationship with God, when you truly accept Jesus into your heart and you start to build that relationship with God and with fellow believers, all of a sudden your heart breaks for your Father. And when you have a desire to know your Father and to love your Father, you're willing to turn and walk away from every earthly desire, every earthly passion, everything on this earth. You're willing to leave it behind for him. You might be in here today and you say, you know what? I've never accepted Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I never quite heard it the way you're talking. And I always struggle with this church stuff. I like coming here because it's a really good atmosphere. But, I kind of always struggle. I'm here to tell you, he's just your daddy. God is your dad. And he loves you. And he wants you to come back home. He wants you to come and have a relationship. He wants to take care of you. The thing about my daddy's house is I don't get to go there and make my own rules. It's not Burger King. You can't have it your way. Burger King sucks. When I go to my dad's house, it's his rules. It's how he says. But for some reason, when people come to God, we think that we're going to tell him how it's going to be. It's not that way. But you know what makes it easy to follow God's will and God's commandments? A relationship with who he is and knowing how much he loves you. That's our response. We respond to God by giving him our life. We respond to God by doing our best to living right. And guess what? In the garden, when they were in trouble and God came to see about him, the reason that he came to see about him in the way that he did, because it was only Adam and Eve. He had none of us to sin. But now, he's got an army of believers, and God is telling you to go see about them. Go see about those who are lost. Go see about those who are in sin. Go see about those and see where they are. Why? Because I brought you out of where you were so that you can go see where they are. Amen? So if you're here today, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. He came down to see where you are. He came down to show compassion, show forgiveness. God loves you so much that he went to he did everything he could. He could have literally started over. That's the part that gets me. He could have just wiped his nose with us, blinked his eyes, and started all over, a fresh slate. Adam and Eve screwed it up. Let me get a new one. But no, he stuck with us. He stuck with us. And the question is, if you are a believer, are you really sticking with him? I heard a statistic, and I'm done. This is a national statistic that real churchgoers, people who call themselves Christians, go to church 1.8 times a month. But they want a full-time God. It's like, if you really know who God is and how the sacrifice that he made, the love that he has for you, I would invite you to come and to be a part of what God is doing here. Amen? Amen?
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Relevant Church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat.